Welcome to the Nation's Blind Podcast, coming to you from the headquarters of the National Federation of the Blind in Baltimore.
Welcome to the Nation's Blind Podcast. I'm Melissa Riccobono, and I'm here with...
Anil Lewis at the Nation's Blind Podcast.
Yes, happy holidays.
What was that hesitation with the
I don't know. I guess I just kind of forgot what I was doing. Yeah. I don't know. I think what I wanted to do was say something about, you know, a special holiday edition, and then I just thought, we'll keep it simple.
But we should. Happy holidays.
Happy holidays.
Merry
Absolutely.
Christmas.
Happy New Year.
To those, happy Hanukkah.
Happy Hanukkah, happy definitely.
Happy Kwanzaa.
Yep.
All of the other holiday traditions that are out there. This is a time that I enjoy because it gets people focused on what I think is important, and that's the love for one another.
And what else do we need in this world but a little bit more love and a little bit more connection?
I thought you were going to sing a song for us just then.
Oh.
What the world needs now. No?
Okay. It's love, sweet love.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, there she is, Melissa Riccobono, debuting on the Nation's Blind Podcast. Yeah, this is going to be an interesting episode to put together.
It is. We have a lot of very diverse content, sort of like the diversity in our own membership.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And we've already kind of acknowledged in our limited scope the various ways that people will be celebrating over these holidays. I personally celebrate Christmas.
Yes, I do as well.
Yeah. You guys have it better off. I mean, there's nothing that really helps celebrate Christmas like children.
It is true. I think, though, it's really nice this year because Oriana is going to be an angel in the Christmas program at church. And so that sort of, not only is it children and not only is it about gifts, but it really does help us remember really what Christmas is about. Mm. And the other thing that I'm really trying to do is to make this as stressless a holiday season as possible. Because... Okay, I'm going to tell a little quick story about the Riccobono family.
All right.
You know, last year, we generally make Christmas cookies on Christmas Eve, mm-hmm. and then we give them to Santa. And it's a wonderful tradition. It's one of my very favorites.
Mm-hmm.
But I said to my husband yesterday, in fact, you know, this year, can we please make the cookies on the 23rd instead? Because last year,
Santa some day-old cookies.
Well, that's okay. You know, Santa enjoys cookies however he can get them, I'm quite sure. But, you know, last year we were making these cookies and then we're rushing to get to church. And we're in the car going to church on Christmas Eve, kind of grumpy. And I'm like, this is not what it's supposed to be like.
Oh, God,
so I this year am saying no grumpiness.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to make this easy. We're going to, especially because this year we have to be there early for Oriana's little.
Does she have a speaking part?
She does not. She just gets to walk up and be one of
and
the angels
lovely.
And look lovely.
Okay,
and you know, and then Elizabeth and Austin will be able to bring up stars at one point.
Oh, with awesome.
A really, it's really well done.
Yeah.
It's a really nice way. And the other thing for me, I guess, that really helps me sort of get into the spirit and into the season is all the Christmas music and some of the more traditional carols that help me celebrate and help me really kind of get in tune with that.
Yeah.
You know, it's bigger than presents. It's bigger than just running around. It really
go.
Is about connection and connecting. And
your point's not lost. I mean, so many people get caught up into the hubbub and the back and forth and the commercialization that it really takes away from them enjoying the holiday in a real way.
Yeah. And that's just not how I want to do it anymore. I'm done. We don't travel for Christmas either. We used to travel, which was fun in its own way, but exhausting too. And I was really sick last time we did it, so that really did not help. And then the kids got sick. It was a nightmare. So
it's going to be a wonderful Christmas.
We are quite happy to be home. We're very lucky. Mark's mom gets to come and spend Christmas with us. That makes it very special. Certainly, I miss my mom and my family, but you know, going to Wisconsin in the winter is not the most fun. So we go in the summer when we can really enjoy the great state of Wisconsin.
Well, being a Southern boy, I don't want to go anywhere. I know people love the white Christmas and the snow and stuff. I want to make sure that Christmas is a nice, comfortable, sunny day. That's the way I like to enjoy Christmas. Yeah. And I hope that all of you out there are making plans to enjoy your friends and family. As I stated, you know, my tradition is a faith tradition around celebrating Christmas. And it's representative of... you know, remembering one who there was not room for. And because we were able to make room for this one in my life is much richer and much fuller in my belief system. And I think that that's probably relevant to what we're going to be talking about in talking about our federation. We've been talking about the Dreamers more specifically in the way we do as the National Federation of the Blind. making sure that the life circumstances of people broadly are identified, but in the specific context in which we acknowledge how blind people in those particular situations are being impacted. So a lot of people, you know, talking about the DACA and the Dreamers, understand it broadly, but we wanted to make sure that those blind individuals that are subjected to this had a voice. So we reached out to them through a survey, got some information, and Gabe Casadas, who works in our advocacy and policy department, had the opportunity to interview two individuals within this particular category. And I think that there are some similarities, of course, but I think that our listeners will be very interested in the differences. This is the National Federation of the Blind, trying to help all blind people live the life they want. So let's take a listen to the interview from Gabe Casadas.
This month, we have two special guests to talk to us about a program that's not necessarily blindness related, but definitely plays into how we empower our members to live the lives we want in the National Federation of the Blind. But before we get into the specifics of what we're talking about this month, I would like for our guests to introduce themselves.
All right, I can go first, I guess. My name is Gracia Ramirez, and I live in Atlanta, well, a suburb of Atlanta. And I am going to school for court reporting and stenography.
Hello, guys. My name is Martin Becerra Miranda. I am a cane travel instructor at the Colorado Center for the Blind in Littleton, Colorado.
So, Martin and Gracia, thank you so much for agreeing to be with us today. And the program that we are going to talk about today is the Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals Program, commonly known as DACA program, that was initiated under the Obama administration. And some of our listeners may be wondering, well, why is the National Federation of the Blind getting into immigration policy? And before we start our discussion, I'd like to remind our members that the National Federation of the Blind isn't for or against the DACA program. We have an interest in immigration policy so far as it touches blind people. And you two happen to be members of the National Federation of the Blind who have chosen to share your story, not only as blind people, but also as recipients of benefits under the Deferred Action for Childhood Arrival Program. Is that right?
Yes.
So thank you very much for sharing your story with us. So one of the things that I think we should talk about is, as blind people in the United States, you don't necessarily think about status as a citizen because you have access to a lot of resources that help you live the life you want and achieve your goals. Why don't you, we'll start with you, Martin, share with us what your experience has been being in the United States as an undocumented person, and then your experience after receiving DACA benefits.
Sure. So I've been in the United States since late 1994. My family migrated here from Mexico just a few weeks before my fifth birthday. And, you know, for the most part, my academic life was really not affected at all because of my undocumented status. It did kind of come to a head when I graduated high school and was wanting to pursue higher education. And at this point, I had lost my sight when I was 16. So that was, you know, something else that I was dealing with. So I started looking into some resources, went and talked to some organizations and foundations that assisted blind people, or still assist blind people. And unfortunately, most of these organizations were unable to assist me because of my undocumented status. So once I received DACA, you know, it just kind of opened this whole new world up for me. When I was able to go to the Voc Rehab office in Phoenix, Arizona, open up a case and start looking into some of the possibilities that I could take advantage of, you know, as far as going to school, receiving blindness specific training, which, you know, I fortunately took that offer up. you know, that has absolutely changed my life tremendously, to the point where I, like I mentioned in my introduction, I work at the Colorado Center for the Blind now. So it's been really night and day as far as some of the opportunities that I had before the DACA, and, you know, the opportunities that I've had since acquiring it.
So, Gracia, I think that segues perfectly into a question that I had for you. Prior to receiving DACA benefits as a blind person, were you able to access vocational rehabilitation services? If you were, what difference, if any, did you notice based on your undocumented status as a blind person?
Okay, so no, I was not. I wasn't eligible for vocational rehabilitation services at all. So kind of like Martin, like when I graduated high school, there was just nowhere for me to go. I was a straight A student. That's not true. I had a B in math once. No.
You did better than
no.
me.
No, but seriously, I was in honors classes. I did, you know what I mean? I did everything. And I remember them actually coming to me and asking me if I wanted to take part in the, I don't know what this program is called, like the extended program in high school where you can like stay for an extra year and I don't know, just buy yourself some time. But I didn't because like it made no sense. And, you know, I would have had to slow down and take various other classes. But I mean, it's true that there was nothing they could really, I was mainstreamed. I went to a public high school here that had a fair number of blind kids. And so like they were very, like Martin was saying, like my academic time in school was relatively normal. And actually, to be honest with you guys, like I didn't even realize for a long time that there was anything different about me. I feel like it was a growing realization that I came to have like myself sort of, but it wasn't anything that because it was just my mother and I. And it wasn't anything that we just ever sat down and discussed. It was just like suddenly it's here and I don't know what to do with that. So, but no, it wasn't until I got DACA that I was able to kind of, and I called them myself. I went in and I was like, all right, you guys are going to help me fill this out because my mother doesn't really speak or read English well. And so I can't have her reading this to me and I don't have anybody else. So I'm a client and I know that I am and I can be. So like, what's up?
And I think that's a perfect way to show some true advocacy skills in action. But, you know, we had an opportunity to chat before we sat down to record this interview. And one of the things that we talked about is a social safety net for blind people. If you are a citizen, and in the United States and you are a blind person, you have access to a social safety net because you are eligible for Social Security benefits, whether that is Social Security Supplementary Insurance or SSDI. If you've worked, you have access to some monetary benefits through the Social Security Administration. Either one of you, whoever wants to take the lead, it's fine. Talk to me about what kind of a social safety net you had as an undocumented blind person in this country.
Huh, none.
Same. Absolutely no safety net.
No food stamps, no SSI, nothing. I didn't even realize that was a thing.
Yeah.
And it's always really funny, right? Because it's all subjective. So like people say, man, I mean, like, yeah, it is, but like, it's not really that much. And it doesn't really help like that. And I'm like, I mean,
but if you're a blind college student, if you're a blind college student, anything helps.
Of course. And even now with DACA, there is no net, I guess. Like, obviously now we can work and stuff. So that's really neat. But like, we still can't apply for food stamps. We still can't obviously get SSI or anything like that.
Yeah, I have to agree on this note here. I mean, you know, as soon as I got DACA, I was, I'll be pretty honest, I tried to get some food stamps because I got DACA and I was out in Colorado to receive my training shortly after that. So I was away from home. I was at the center getting my training and I had really no resources from which to draw on. So, you know, I tried applying and was promptly told that, oh, sorry, man, you got this social security number, you can work, you can go to school, but, you know, you can't receive any of the benefits. So that, you know, that's those 9 months when I was at the center, I really had to rely on my parents as far as finances go. And, you know, they didn't have any kind of savings. So it was kind of a paycheck to paycheck kind of thing where, you know, we had to wait and see how much money they might be able to help me out with this week. So
now, absolutely no safety net. I also went to the Colorado Center before I got DACA, though, back in 2011. And I agree with Martin. I mean, it was hard because, like, they actually financed me. They paid for me to be there. I was on scholarship. And it was really cool. And they gave me, a stipend. But, I mean, you know, it is what it is. Like, you can't survive on – I mean, obviously you can, and I did, and I've done it. But, like, you know, it falls on hard times. I mean, it's not – it's just harder. You know, I feel like people go, I've heard of people when they go to training and stuff, obviously you're far away from home and you get maybe a stipend from your VR counselor. I've heard of that happening to certain people, but that was obviously not an option for me. And I mean, the center really helped me out a lot, but man, it was just like Martin was saying, like, yeah, I had to draw on my mom or have her send me things from home if she could. And that stuff is not cheap, you know, but, yeah, none.
So it sounds like from the conversation that we've had that as a blind person, the DACA program has really opened doors that, correct me if I'm wrong, would seem out of reach for somebody who is blind and undocumented in the United States before. I mean, you've gotten access to quality vocational rehabilitation. Your educational opportunities have been expanded. Martin, you're employed. Garcia, you're on your way to being employed. So thank you so much for sharing your story. But before we part ways, is there any one thing that you want somebody, if they don't remember anything else about this conversation, is there one thing that you'd like, what is the one thing you'd like for people to take away from this conversation? And either of you can start.
So I'll start off here. So I think my big thing that I want people to take away from this or just any place they get their information from or entertainment as far as DACA goes, you know, these aren't just statistics. You hear about the 800,000, 900,000 DACA recipients and how we're losing, you know, that, and how, you know, there's a huge number of DACA recipients who are just being left by the wayside every month that are not able to reapply for this, for these benefits. I just want people to understand that it's more than just numbers. I mean, you know, I could sit with somebody and tell them about my whole life and just how positively this has affected me, being able to receive training, being able to be employed. You know, to the point where, you know, I'm able to mentor and to help out other blind people. You know, thankfully the center has, given me so many opportunities and, you know, I don't know that would have been possible without DACA and without me being able to attend the center to, you know, find all these open doors.
I feel like my biggest thing is normalcy, right? And I mean, what is normal really? Like, it's a label, but like when you think about things like DACA and before DACA was a thing, when we were just undocumented students, I mean, like I said, I didn't even really realize what that meant for me. I grew up, I always kind of, you know, just wanted to blend in, and I already stood out because I was blind and just in public school systems, and so that's already kind of a challenge. And then you've got this little very subtle kind of thing that's not a big deal until it's a huge deal. And then it's like, well, what do I do? But I feel like I agree with Martin's point about us not just being numbers, but also like at the end of the day, I feel like most of us really just want to live, right? Like we just want to live and work and do our own thing and like not have to think about like, this is our home place. I mean, I came here with my mom in 1992. I was a year old, and to be honest, like, I doubt that if I had been born blind, my mom would have come to this country at all, because I have sisters, I have people I didn't grow up, obviously, you know, seeing, and she had a very stable job that she really wasn't trying to leave. So I feel like for me, being here already has afforded me so many opportunities. And man, like, I remember growing up wanting to just work, you know, I would have gotten a part-time job as a waitress or a part-time job doing any old thing that I couldn't really have done, that I don't know of many blind people that have been waiters. I'm sure it's possible, but like, it's just not something that would have occurred to me to do at that time. It was just very disheartening. And so with DACA, being able to kind of do what I want and go to school and work part-time and be wherever I want with no like shame, there's less of a stigma, I feel like. And so I guess my biggest thing is just like, we just want to be, we just want to exist and peace and harmony.
Well, I want to thank you guys for sharing your story. I know that President Rick Abono is committed to diversity in our organization. And I want to remind the listeners that we currently have a DACA survey on our website to see, to track the number of blind people who are affected and brainstorm ways that as far as this issue impacts blindness, we can be of use. So thank you both for sharing your story with us.
Totally. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Wow. Very, very interesting comments there. I'm glad that we were able to really identify that in a real way that's authentic to blindness. Gracia, that's one of, I'd like to call her one of our prodigies. She was very active in the NFL Georgia when I was president, one of our mentees in our program. I think that there may be, if you're looking, an old archive YouTube video of Gracia talking about our mentoring program back with the Georgia's Empowered Mentoring Success Program back in those many years ago. So I'm glad that we were able to really help her continue to progress to be the powerful young lady she is. And I hope that, you know, that we're able to, you know, really find a solution to the, to this problem.
Yeah. And again, this is not about politics. This is really about gathering information, learning things so that we can figure out as an organization how to help all members. We do have a new diversity policy. It's on our website. Certainly you can check that out. But I think it's just really important for us to put the political aside and just realize that whatever happens, there's going to be an impact. And of course, the impact that we care most about in the National Federation of the Blind is the impact on blind people. Mm-hmm. And so that's really what we're doing. We're just gathering information to figure out if there is a way that we can be helpful for blind people. And I mean, maybe there is, maybe there isn't, but I think the first way that we can all be helpful is just to learn a little bit.
Yeah. And value the diversity that we offer.
That's right.
As blind people, we have to recognize that I personally feel, well, let me correct that. I know that the world is a better place because of the members of the Federation are active in shaping what the world looks like through the organization and through what we do here in the United States. It doesn't just impact the lives of blind people here in the States. It impacts all of America. And in what we do, we also impact the entire world. I truly know that from my interaction here. We just have to recognize that we have strength and value, and we have to make sure that the others around us value the diversity that we offer.
That's right. And then just to remember that without DACA, you know, Martin and Garcia really had, you know, they weren't eligible for rehab. They weren't, I mean, they were lucky to be able to get training. It kind of worked out for them, but it's just it's very sad to me that there are people that are just struggling for just something as basic as learning the skills that they need really to live the lives that they want to live. Mm-hmm. So,
and the investment we made in them is paying off.
They
add value to the world in which they live as well.
Oh, of course.
And the Federation recognizes diversity. And we just recently posted a diversity statement on our website that states it. And well, I think it's more than just stating it. We actually just ended up putting in writing, right, what we've been practicing for these many years.
Right, so. Definitely. But it's a good reminder, and it's just very good. It's good that we have one. Mm-hmm. It's a good statement to have. So, well, we have in the news coming up, and Chris Danielson is going to be introducing something else that we have done at the National Federation of the Blind to really help others, a diverse membership and a diverse group of people who have one common thread, the efforts that we made to help people who experience losses due to Hurricane Harvey. And so
we did an episode, I guess, a month ago or so when we were just talking about this issue. And it just fills my heart. I mean, we talk about Federation family, you know, but in crisis situations, and this wasn't just the only one, it's just amazing the way that we really come together as a true family. And again, it's around the country with respect to the relationships that we have and the way we really chip in. So that effort was really something that made me really be reinvested in what we are.
It is wonderful. And it's so important specifically to me because so often blind people are told to sit and wait or, you know, we'll help you. And even when you say, oh, please let me help you. Oh, no, no. Oh, or even little things like the Salvation Army. Mm-hmm. You know, there was a bell ringer the other day and I went and put my couple dollars in the bucket and you know, kind of got the, oh, it's like, well, yes, I have something to get. I mean,
like they're collecting that money for you.
Yes. Yeah. Right. And so anyway, it really is a wonderful thing when we, and I think part of the reason why we give so much in crisis situations is because we really, truly do have love and respect for one another mm-hmm. as Federationists. But I think that beyond that, I do think, at least for me sometimes, it just feels really good to be able to give back in a very authentic way where people aren't questioning. Are you sure you want to give? Or are you sure you can? Or, you know, it's really nice in that way, too.
I have to admit, though, just as an aside, I have to confess, it does help with the homeless beggars. They come up from behind me. Yeah. Yo, bruh, you got a couple. And I turn around, they see my cane, they say, like, well, never mind. So I know that's awful. I have to admit, no,
confession. I confess to being crabby on Christmas Eve, and you've now confessed.
Well, for those who know me, know that I'm fairly generous to those solicitors, but it is kind of funny when I get a pass, though, when they look at me and they say, well, okay, if you don't think, you know, I'm worth giving you a couple of bucks, then that's your choice. So that is hilarious.
Oh, it's true. Yeah. But anyway, Chris Danielson's going to be introducing a piece that Norma Crosby did for, we had a supporter dinner. Mm-hmm. So that supporters, people, organizations, companies, businesses, the corporate world, I think mostly, our supporters were here at this dinner. And really part of the dinner was for them to get to know us in a real way. And so Norma shared all the efforts that we made to help in Hurricane Harvey, which I think really impacted those supporters that were present at the dinner because it really showed what the NFB, what the National Federation of the Blind is all about. Mm-hmm. So why don't we take a listen to Chris Danielson and Norma Crosby. You're listening to the Nation's Blind Podcast.
This is Chris Danielson with the news. Some people have been remembering and asking about our efforts with the victims of Hurricane Harvey. We featured that in the news on an earlier podcast, and we are focusing on the impact of the National Federation of the Blind this month. And recently we had a supporter dinner here at the NFB Jernigan Institute. And at that supporter dinner, Norma Crosby, who is president of the National Federation of the Blind of Texas and a board member of the board of directors of the National Federation of the Blind, spoke about those relief efforts. So let's listen to what Norma Crosby had to say about the very touching stories of how the Federation family helped each other out in Texas after the devastation of Hurricane Harvey.
The weekend of August the 25th, which was a Friday, I believe, changed a lot of lives in Texas. It rained from Friday the 25th until that next Wednesday, pretty unrelentingly. It stopped a little bit, in the area where I lived on Saturday afternoon. So I thought, oh, nothing's going to happen. This is going to be okay. Not true. By 6 o'clock Sunday morning, we had about 6 inches of water in our house, and other people had much more, and more water continued to pour into our house, so we decided it might be a good idea to leave. So we did that. And we began to take phone calls from people right away about losses that they were having, wanting us to let people know that they were okay if anyone called about them, and trying to just do the work that Federationists do every day, putting that network in place that we have that we're so well known for around the country. And one of the first people who called me was President Rick Abono, and he said, "How can we help?" And so I knew right then my family had my back. And we began to work. I told them right then, I said, "I don't think anyone knows what they need yet." And sure enough, for a couple of weeks, I think most people didn't know exactly what they needed. I know Glenn and I did not really know what was going to happen with our house at that time and how things were going to go. So we understood that a lot of other people were in the same position. So we really, even though we were open, we didn't start getting calls until probably a couple of weeks after. But thanks to the leadership of President Rick Abono, we already had an action plan in place. We determined that we would accept donations right away, which we did. And I want to thank so many of our affiliates here this evening who so generously gave donations to the NFB of Texas when we needed it so much. And so many of our other donors, personal donors, who pledged money and have supplied us with money to help blind people as they have worked through this process. And after President Rick Abono and I worked together, we decided also, I want to tell you guys about a really special program that was really dear to my heart. And we have some people here tonight who have participated in that program. That was the Adopt a Family program. We knew that we could only offer so much help to each individual through the donations we got. And so we invited other affiliates and individuals, anyone who wanted to adopt a family and to provide them with whatever they might need after the initial shock of what had happened set in. And right after we in the NFB of Texas had sent them some money and gift cards and whatever else we could provide. And that worked so well. I know our Potomac chapter in Virginia, for example, did that. And I know we have some members here tonight. We got really generous donations from more affiliates than I can stand here and name. But I want to thank all of you. You all know who you are, and I don't want to miss anybody by trying to say all of you. But so many of you came to the rescue when it was needed most. I want to tell you one quick story before I relinquish the mic back to President Rick Abono. We had one family in particular that really touched my heart. Her name is Maria, and Maria is a blind woman who lives in Kingwood, Texas, which is just northeast of Houston. Maria lost her son in a car accident a few days prior to the storm. And she and her husband buried their 19-year-old son on the Friday the storm started. And on Saturday, they lost their house. The NFB of Texas worked with her, and other affiliates have worked to help provide assistance to Maria and her family in an effort to make sure that even though we couldn't diminish her loss, we could try to help make things a little bit better than they were. And that's what we do in the National Federation of the Blind. On a personal note, I want to thank all the people who have called Glenn and me because as many of you know, our house was almost a total loss as well in the storm. But we felt our work in the Federation was important. We've continued to try to do that while we're fixing our house. But we could not have done any of that, whether it's helping other people, working on our home, without the love, the support, and the generosity that our Federation family has given to us. So I want to thank you guys so much. There's more to do in Texas, but I want to say that our Harvey relief efforts have ended, except for we have a couple of things like in the hopper. We're buying a mattress for someone who really, really needs it, has a severely multiply disabled child, and we're in the process of doing that. And then our goal in Texas, we say that we're strong. We're a strong state. We don't just take, we give. And there we have funding left over from some of your generous donations, and we plan to send it to our national office so that we can help the NFB of Puerto Rico, because that's what family does. Thank you.
Well, I certainly enjoyed hearing from Norma about the NFB of Texas family helping those blind people who were affected by the hurricane, and I hope you did too. This is Chris Danielson, and you're listening to the Nation's Blind Podcast.
Again, it's just another reflection of how, you know, we really come together to meet the need. I've been going around telling people, you know, to stress the point that, you know, we recognize it wasn't just us, you know, that there was a unified effort from around the country to meet the needs of everyone that was experiencing this tragedy. But I keep on telling everybody, I doubt if either FEMA or Red Cross, you know, had long white canes,
right?
You know, that they could give
or
to
access
the blind
technology
people,
or access, or,
exactly,
you know,
exactly,
any of that.
I love the fact that, again, we represent the world's populace. We are a subset of society, and we're willing to put our shoulder to the wheel just like everyone else. So along with the Red Cross and the FEMA guys, we're out there making sure that as blind people are able to go back into their homes, that they're also given the tools that they need in order to regain their independence, you know, in the homes that they're able to go back to. So I just love hearing the stories of how we really come together that way. That I think speaks to who we are more so than all the other stuff we do, the litigation, the programming, the way that we're able to come together through love to support one another, I think is the power of who we are as an organization.
I agree. And I'm sure that people are having brighter holidays because of what we were able to do.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a really nice feeling. I mean, I'm sure the rebuilding's not over. I'm sure that there are, probably some sadnesses that are going on during this season as well for mm-hmm. people. And I don't want to minimize that or not mention that, but at least we have done, I don't want to say as much as we can, but you know, we have done something.
We were there.
That's yeah. right.
And still
That's
continue
right.
to be
and
there.
And still continue to be there.
Yeah.
Yes.
And it was really interesting. The feel in the room after they heard Norma's testimony, you know, the individuals who were really there getting to know us for the first time, I think it was an epiphany for them. I think that they saw us as a blindness organization. And at that point, during that story, they really realized that we were more than just that. So that was helpful.
I agree. And I think that coupled with the story that President Riccobono told about the mother in Nevada who mm-hmm. now will have full custody of her child for mm-hmm. the first time in, I don't know, a year and a half, mm-hmm. 2 years, something crazy like that. And, you know, we'll be able to spend the holidays with her child.
Yeah.
What a powerful testament to what we do. And
yeah.
and I think the dinner was a really great event, and I think people walked away with a greater appreciation. Because of course we are known for the litigation, and I mean, to be fair, the Nevada case did involve
some litigation.
Yeah. But at the same time, I think at the end of the day, it's the results, the real life-changing mm-hmm. results that
take
place.
And on
place.
Top of that, the motivation for it. I mean,
yes.
we're not suing for suing.
No,
we're out there trying to impact people's lives to make sure that they have the ability to live the lives they want. That's the true motivation for everything
right.
that we do, that blind people can live on terms of equality within their communities, live, work, and play right alongside their neighbors. So that's really
right.
our selfish motivation.
That's right.
Yeah. So that's enough of that. Let's talk about the holiday. We're
yeah.
going to be celebrating the holiday. And I'm sure all of our listeners have a variety of different holiday celebration traditions. We'd love to hear some of them.
We would. You know, you should give us some feedback. We'd love to hear your holiday traditions. It'd
yeah.
be a nice thing to be able to read or listen to on the next episode,
I've
even though
pleased.
The holidays will be past.
I've been pleased we've been getting some feedback. So thank you guys for finally letting us know that you're out there actually listening.
Yes,
I mean,
yes.
The other one we were worried about, we went over the top with the little goofiness. We got a lot of, you know, applause for that.
We like your goofiness,
yeah,
we were told.
But we can't just be goofy all the time.
No. Yeah,
but,
we're a little
we
more somber
that.
This month, but that's
yeah.
okay.
One listener said that they were actually using the podcast in their school environment for instructional purposes, so I thought that was really good. Hopefully we can continue to provide information that you feel is worth sharing with students.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Definitely. Well, I know President Rick Abono had a chance to sit down with some of the board members of the National Federation of the Blind. I think he's going to share some of his favorite holiday traditions and a nice greeting, a holiday greeting with all of our listeners. And then some of the board members will be talking about their favorite holiday traditions as well. So why don't we take a listen to that? You're listening to the Nation's Blind Podcast.
Greetings, Nation's Blind Podcast listeners. I'm Mark Riccobono, president of the National Federation of the Blind, and it's my privilege to speak to you about the work of the National Federation of the Blind during 2017 and some reflections, some looking forward to 2018. We've had a great year in the National Federation of the Blind, and I think our continued growth of our podcast is one of the examples of the work that we're doing to reach more blind people and to share hope, opportunity, and information amongst blind people across the nation and really across the world. Our podcast did not start in 2017, but I think it has really grown in a powerful way this year, and I know that will continue next year, and I would urge all of our listeners, whether you're members of the Federation or not, to give feedback to our hosts and or myself about what we could do that would be meaningful to you with our podcast. And by the way, if you haven't yet joined the National Federation of the Blind in 2017, I would invite you to make a New Year's resolution to become a member of the National Federation of the Blind. We would love to have you in our Federation family, to welcome you at the local level, and certainly to have your imagination, your talents, your diverse perspectives to be part of our voice as the nation's blind. We've had a very active year in Congress this year. We've been tracking and moving more bills than ever before at one time, not just active legislation that we've helped to author and encourage members of Congress to introduce, but working on bills that other people have introduced or defending against bills that people have introduced. We're working on a number of fronts, and the strength that we have as a nationwide network of blind people continues to really be our greatest asset in moving public policy in Washington, D.C., and for that matter, at the local level. We've been successful in moving a number of right-to-parent bills in states and making other legislative victories, defending the quality of rehabilitation programs, or even defending individual students in IEP meetings. We are very active in all of those areas, and the work that we do makes a great difference, and I think we can count this year as a success. We've also been successful in continuing to spread our public awareness about the truth about blindness, both through our podcast, social media, the literature that we produce, through our Braille Monitor and other publications that we have, and simply getting into more media outlets, newspapers, op-eds. We've had a great year in helping to raise expectations for blind people. The thing that I'm most proud of in 2017 is the growth of our movement. We have seen new members coming from all sorts of places, building our affiliates across the nation. A number of our fall affiliate conventions saw record numbers at the convention, which is a real sign of strength and growth. The individual stories are the heartbeat of our organization. And if you would like to reflect upon that, I would invite you to go back to the 2017 presidential report, which I delivered at our national convention this summer. The individual stories power what we do as our collective vehicle, our vehicle for collective action. And the individual stories are inspiration for us, but also strengthen our determination. One story I want to share with you as we come to the end of the year is about a mom who we've been helping for the last couple years. This is a blind mother who had her daughter taken away. We were fortunate to come across her and began helping her work with her fight against the state to get her daughter back. The state removed her daughter because of low expectations and misunderstanding about the capacity of blind parents. This mom is single. She's fairly young. And the state didn't really believe that she had the capacity, because she was blind, to be an effective parent. We've been working for 2 years on this case, and there were times when we wondered whether we were going to be able to bring it home, to do what we needed to do to help this mom and her daughter be reunited. About a month ago, or a little less than that, around Thanksgiving time, we got notice that mom and daughter would be reunited back together earlier this week before Christmas 2017, and that after 6 months of monitoring, custody would be fully again in mom's care. This is a great victory for this mom and this young girl. It's also a victory for the National Federation of the Blind and for all blind people, because when we defend the rights of one blind person, we strengthen the rights of all blind people, and we protect one blind person. We have provided a degree of security to all blind people in the same way that a threat to one blind person is really a threat to each and every one of us. So I'm really thankful coming into the end of the year that we can celebrate some great successes this year, including reuniting this mom and her daughter as part of the work of the National Federation of the Blind. We have great plans for 2018, and I would encourage you to stay tuned into our podcast to get plugged into all those things. If you're not already reading the Braille Monitor, our flagship publication, I'd encourage you to sign up for that. You can do so at our website, nfb.org. You can get it via podcast. You can get it on NFB Newsline. There's just all sorts of ways you can get it. You can get it online. I'd encourage you to stay plugged into all of our forms of communication so that you can be a part of our movement with us. January is already full with a lot of great stuff, which I'm sure we're going to talk about on the podcast at some other point. As we come to the end of the year, I reflect that this is a time when, at least leading up to it, it's quite busy, but we tend to slow down at the end of the year, at least in the Riccobono household, and take a step back and reflect upon the season, what we've done this year, what we'd like to do next year, and really enjoy the blessings of family. And that's what I'm looking forward to. It always leads to some great memories, certainly some great laughs, both from silly things that happen and just being together and enjoying each other. The Riccobonos, usually we play some games. It's a good time to pull out games that are going to last a long time. I'm sure that there'll be another epic Monopoly game in the Riccobono's holiday season this year. And we always make cookies, usually on Christmas Eve, but since we have a long weekend this year, we may do it a little earlier. And just spend time with each other, enjoying the blessing that is having a family, being together, and setting some goals together for 2018. And I'm sure we'll be reflecting upon the many great things that we've had the opportunity to do together in 2017. It's always kind of fun to review the highlights of the year. I have the great honor and privilege of working on behalf of the National Federation of the Blind. It takes me all across the country, and my family makes sacrifices so that I can do that. So this time of the year is particularly enjoyable because we get to spend time together. And I want to thank each and every one of you for what you do to help make it possible for us to have an organization in the National Federation of the Blind. And for those of you who are members, the privilege of electing me your president, my honor to serve you on a daily basis to raise expectations for blind people. We truly are a family, besides being a vehicle for collective action. And I, in reflecting upon the holiday time, thought we should ask some of our other board members about some of what the holidays mean to them and their traditions. And so here, for some reflections about the holidays, are other leaders of the National Federation of the Blind. Happy holidays to you. Happy Hanukkah, Merry Christmas, whatever traditions that you celebrate. And may 2018 be one of the best years ever.
Okay, good morning, everyone, and Merry Christmas and a happy holiday to all of you. I am Ron Brown, the second vice president of the National Federation of the Blind and the state president of the National Federation of the Blind of Indiana. I want to wish everybody season's greetings, and I want to share just a moment the reason for this season as I see it. The reason for this season as I see it is because God gave us His Son, and He gave us that as a gift in order to save the world. I feel that in keeping in that same vein, we in the National Federation of the Blind give back to each other all the time, helping blind people to achieve equality, security, and opportunity. I also feel that some of the things that this season brings is a lot of laughter in my home, a lot of joyous times when our children, Jean and I, our children were young. We had a tradition of opening one gift at Christmas Eve. We would always allow our children to open one gift. And then the very next day, they were so excited they couldn't sleep. They wanted to open the rest of their gifts. Well, we only gave them the opportunity to open one. Now that they're grown and have their own children, I'm sure they have their traditions. However, me and Jean keep it up. We're the only ones at home now, and we open one gift Christmas Eve, and then we wait for the big day the next day. So when Christmas morning comes, we get up and we have our morning prayer, thanking God for allowing us to see another Christmas and another year coming to a close. And we give our thanks to God, and then we go in and have our traditional gift openings. We also, at this time of the year, in the National Federation of the Blind of Indiana, have a holiday basket where we put together fruit baskets, and we have kernel books in them, and we have stuffed animals in them like Beanie Babies and things. And we all get together over one of our members' homes, and we started a tradition, and it has lasted over 30 years now. She's the state fundraising chair for our state. She started this tradition, and we've been keeping it up ever since. And so we sell the holiday baskets so that we can help children at this time give a child away. So we help a blind child that is in need, buy gifts for them, and we take them shopping, and we give gifts for them as well as their family. These are some of the fun things that we like to do in the state of Indiana, and I like to do, and Jean, my wife, likes to do around this time of the year. So I want everybody to take care, be safe, be blessed, and remember that the reason of this season is to give, and hopefully all of you all can think about the National Federation of the Blind and give to our organization who gives so much to other people. Thank you.
I am Everly Hairston, president of the National Federation of the Blind of California. I serve on the National Board of Directors of the National Federation of the Blind. The National Federation of the Blind is a family to me. Although I come from a very large family, my biological family consists of, growing up, there were 7 children and 4 adults. We lived on a plantation, and Christmas time was always so special, but not just Christmas, but Thanksgiving and Easter, because that's when all of my father's siblings, and there were 11 of them, came to our house, and we always had a big dinner. So I grew up knowing what it was like to be in a big family and always have a big family dinner. My grandfather always sat at the head of the table, and we ate in shifts. When one set of family members would sit down at the table that would seat 12, he would sit there with them, and then when they finished, we washed the dishes, and another 11 joined my grandfather, and then they ate. Traditionally, we always celebrated with family. And then when I got married, I continued that celebration as much as I could with family. And then when my family became quite small, with just my son and I, we would always go and celebrate Christmas with my mother in North Carolina. And my mother always had at least 30 or 40 people for dinner at Christmas time. So it was always a big family, always a big celebration of just family being together and enjoying each other. There weren't a lot of gifts that were giving out, but a lot of love was shared among all of us. We greeted each other with a kiss, with a hug, and it was just a happy time. Since being in California and not having many members of a family here, I don't get to go to North Carolina every year. But what I do to keep the tradition of family going is I attend all of the Christmas parties given by the chapters. And one in particular is when we had a family that we adopted and gave the little girl Christmas gifts. Someone in the chapter played Santa Claus, and we gave her all kinds of gifts, and she was so happy. Christmas is a happy time. It is a time to share, to love. And one of the things that I always say, we must remember the reason for the season. And that's what I share wherever I go. So I love sharing with family at Christmas time.
Hi, this is Pam Allen, First Vice President of the National Federation of the Blind. This is definitely one of my favorite times of year. And one of the things that is an important part of my holiday tradition is baking Christmas cookies. Ever since I can remember, that was one of the things to which I looked forward every year, is baking cookies with my mom and decorating the cookies. There are certain kinds of cookies that we would only make at Christmas time, and so I always looked forward to those special times together, learning about baking, learning about the importance of creating something delicious that we would share with our family and our friends. And now my husband Roland and I carry on that tradition. We hope that you and your families have the happiest of holidays. Thanks for the awesome work that we do together in the National Federation of the Blind to help blind people live the lives that we want. Happy holidays and all the best in 2018.
Well, I love hearing about the traditions. And again, I love hearing from our leaders. They're just regular people. I mean, that's, I think it is
regular, air quotes.
Yeah.
Just like every
just
other,
like
regular,
every other
person.
Regular person.
Air quotes.
Air quotes. Exactly. I think that's, I know when I was first in this organization, I sort of felt like the leaders were the leaders.
Yeah.
You know, they were these
untouchable.
Yes. Yes. Above. And then luckily I got a chance to meet them and realized, oh, they're nice people, and they honestly care about me.
Yeah.
You know, I was just this, you know, college student from Wisconsin. I was just me.
Mm-hmm.
And universally, everybody, oh, you know, welcome. We're so happy that you're here. What are you studying? What are you doing in Wisconsin? Or, oh, I know so-and-so from Wisconsin. I mean, you have that common ground.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really nice. And I love that we have the podcast as another vehicle to really help people get to know our leaders a little bit better.
Yeah, so. Yeah, because they're just common folk.
Yeah.
I think it's the other people that kind of put them on the pedestal.
Yes.
And yeah. I haven't run into a leader that feels that they're on the pedestal. More importantly, I think more of the leaders feel like they're shouldering the burden, you know.
But it's just working
good,
hard.
It's a good burden.
Just working. Shouldering
the good work of the Federation. So I agree. I think that people who in their minds think that the leaders are above reproach or inapproachable, rather, are doing themselves a disservice.
Yeah.
I think take that plunge. Go out there and meet someone because they become better as a result of it, and hopefully you'll enjoy that interaction.
Definitely.
Yeah.
So I talked a little bit about my traditions, and you said you wanted a nice, sunny, warm day. Do you have any special holiday traditions that you'd like to share?
I am so simple, and people just don't really understand that, because most of the time they see me in an environment where I have to put on, you know, the face and be overly gregarious, and people think that that's my nature, but I'm very much an introvert. So anytime I get to sit back and listen to some music or watch some old television shows or read a good book, I take advantage of that. And that's probably what I'll be doing in the holidays. You know, my son, he's 20 years old now. He's off at college. People are saying, well, is he going to come see you at Christmas? I'm like, well, he's 20 years old now. He's off at college and he has a little girlfriend.
Oh,
so, you know, I don't think he's coming to see dad for Christmas. And it's okay. It's okay. I'll see him when he needs money. I mean, I'll see him when I get to see him. So I remember when I was 19 and 20, so it doesn't bother me very much. But I'm just looking at a nice, quiet, quality time. You know, to come back rejuvenated and put myself back into the mix. So I know it sounds boring, but to me, that's the most exciting time I can spend.
Absolutely. Sometimes you just need that day or two to just reset and refocus. And it doesn't have to be this big, I don't know, run on the rat race in the maze.
And I'm the same with New Year's. I don't do the New Year's party. I take that time to reflect on the past year and try to start getting my mind right for the upcoming year.
Well, we actually do a little New Year's party. You know, again, I think it's the kids sort of, because they really like to stay up till midnight, and we let them. You know, that's the one day a year. We pretty much let them watch whatever they want on TV. Not whatever, but you know, we let them watch. We let them watch movies sort of into the night. We let them stay up till midnight.
Okay.
It's kind of a fun time, and we've started a tradition where now we have everybody say their favorite appetizer, and I'll make them. So for Austin, it's the little hot dogs, the little cocktail hot dogs with barbecue sauce on them in the crock pot. For Oriana, it's usually something chocolate or vegetables and hummus.
Oh, that's killing me.
For Elizabeth, I don't know what it is.
These,
you know,
children.
She kind of goes,
what are you doing to these kids?
I don't know. I don't know. Anyway, so we do our little appetizer party, and you know, you've joined us a few times, and you're welcome to join us again.
Well, you know, I cut out about 10 or 10:30.
That's fine. That's fine. You don't need to stay up till midnight. But you know, we enjoy that. And when people come, we like to have them. We either ask them what their favorite appetizer is, and we'll try to provide it, or we'll have them bring something.
It is a nice event,
and it's fun. It's a lot of fun, and it just, I love snacking. I mean, we don't have a dinner. Like, it's just appetizers. So it's heavy stuff. You know, it's meatballs and it's hot. You know, so you can actually have a meal. But I love those kinds of meals. So
Will, I want you to cut that sound bite out where Melissa says, I love snacking.
We're
going to put that in different podcasts at different different moments during the podcast. I love snacking.
I love snacking.
Well, so brings us to the end.
Yeah. We really hope, and we really truly do, that all of you have a wonderful season, that you're able to find quiet ways to reflect, to rejuvenate. And that if it is a tough time of year, because I do recognize that for some it is a very challenging time of year. And I wish I could say more, but I will just say that I hope that you find ways to get through those challenges, and people to talk to, and places to be that will help you through those if there are some challenges that you're facing. And just know that there are people out there that truly do care. And So that's my counselor, I don't know, portion of the podcast.
Maybe we should add that as a reoccurring piece, counseling.
The counseling.
There you go.
With Melissa Riccobono. Yeah, but for everyone else who is just enjoying the holidays, we hope that you that you just enjoy them, that you have time with family and friends or time by yourself, if that's what you need most. And just, again, come into 2018. Oh, my goodness. 2018 with great joy and with excitement about what's ahead in the new year. I know I'm very excited. I have a project that I'm starting to work on.
There's another teaser.
I'm really teaser.
She's not going to share anything with us.
Maybe January, but I'm truly excited. It's a project that I've been thinking about for a long time, and I really hope that it can come into fruition in the new year, and I hope that all of you have exciting projects.
I'm excited about hearing about your exciting projects.
Oh, well, thank you.
I want to bring us back full circle and just bring you back to what Melissa was saying earlier. Please take the time to take some time. Don't get so caught up in the commercialization of the holiday season that you don't recognize that there are people around you that want to share some time with you. Reflect the love that you get from others and just simply try as best you can to enjoy that time, to enjoy that space, and to love and share love. I'm looking forward to that. As a matter of fact, you know what I'd love for our listeners to do in line with what we were just talking about? Since the holidays are already taking place, I'd love to know what your New Year's resolutions are.
Well, that's a great idea.
If you guys could email or write us or tweet or whatever, just let us know. What are your New Year's resolutions? We'll share ours a little bit later. I don't want to disclose right now because Melissa's not talking about her exciting endeavor. So I'll talk about
I guess I'll have to talk about it on January podcast
there you go.
Then because
we'll share our exciting resolutions on the January
so
podcast.
So please email us at podcast@nfb.org or you can follow us on Twitter and tweet us at @NFB_voice.
Yeah.
You can give us a call 410-659-9314 extension 2444.
That's my way. I'm old school. Give us a call.
Yes. Oh, because we would love that. We would love to hear your voice. And of course, you can like us on Facebook as well. Just search for National Federation of the Blind. But there's lots of ways to get in touch. And we hope that either you'll share your New Year's resolutions, or if you're not a big resolution maker, because I'm not always a resolution maker, you know, even just your hopes for the new year, or again, your favorite holiday traditions, whatever you'd like to share with us. We would really love to have a segment on upcoming podcasts where we can talk to people, talk, you know. It's great that people get to know our leaders. I think it's even better when people get to know our members or our listeners. So please help us share that with our other listeners, if you feel comfortable.
And if you tell us what your resolutions are, we can hold you accountable.
We can help you.
Shout us every month. How's that weight loss going? Yeah, I'm sure that's what you want. We, again, enjoy bringing this to you. We hope that there's still benefit for our listeners here. Any suggestions that you have, please let us know. And until the next time, just remember, you can live the life you want.
Blindness is not what holds you back.
Thank you for listening to the Nation's Blind Podcast. If you have questions, comments, or feedback, send an email to podcast@nfb.org or leave us a voicemail at 410-659-9314, extension 2444. Also, don't forget to like us on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter at @NFB_voice. Check out the Nation's Blind channel on YouTube. And visit us on the web at nfb.org. Until next time, remember, you can live the life you want. Blindness is not what holds you back.